Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Deep bank. No, I'm not talking about deep plane. We're talking about deep banking, a massive issue in this country. Hey, Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. We've got the phone lines open for you on this Monday, 406-294-0970. You can also send us a message on the Montana Talks app. But this was a story that broke open this weekend, actually started on Friday. Jack Posobiec, I've been talking about a book that I've been listening to, an audio book by Jack Posobiec. He is the host of Human Events with Jack Posobiec on Real America's Voice. Well, he had a guest on the program, Steve Jarvis, who was talking about the fact that apparently a Montana rancher, a prominent Montana rancher, is allegedly being debanked because of his outspoken views in support of the MAHA agenda, the Make America Healthy Again agenda. In fact, Harmeet Dhillon, who is the head of the U.S. Department of Justice Civil Rights Division, she was appointed by President Trump to fill that post. You guys might remember Harmeet Dhillon. She spoke at a Lincoln Reagan dinner in both Yellowstone County and in Flathead County. Just a couple of years ago she joined us on the show. But even she is paying attention to this story now, asking which bank is allegedly trying to bankrupt and debank a Montana rancher. It all started, I've got some additional information that we can share with you here on the show regarding this story, but here is the audio. Steve Jarvis has been in close contact with our friend Brian Massard from Reminis Angus Ranch out of Dillon, Montana. You guys know Brian. He's also a former president of the Montana Stock Growers. But here's what Steve Jarvis had to say on Real America's Voice with Jack Posobiec.
Steve, you were telling us that you've got some huge breaking news that you wanted to get out to the audience. So the floor is yours. What do you have?
Okay, so Brian Massard is a rancher that has been RFK's advisor on ranching for a full year. And his ranch has just been denied refinancing at their bank. And so what's going to happen is his ranch is going to, well, they're going to go bankrupt. And this is so disappointing for me. I actually drove to Montana yesterday, filmed with him. It's on Out of the Wild 3D. You click on my story. The link is there to save his ranch to sell some of his products.
All right. So, and by the way, we'll give you more details on what Steve Jarvis had to say right there. But yeah, I did. Once I saw this story, I think actually it was Tim in Billings who flagged this story for me on Instagram. Then I started reaching out to our friend Brian Massard to find out what the story is here. So more info from Brian Massard about this debanking topic coming up right after this quick break right here with Montana Talks.
Tackling the issues that shape our state. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we've talked a lot about this debanking topic here on Montana Talks in the past. In fact, you know, every year now for several years, we've had the honor of broadcasting live from the SHOT Show down in Las Vegas. That's the world's biggest gun show, essentially. It's put on by the National Shooting Sports Foundation. And at the SHOT Show, this was a few years ago now, but each year now they've been having a governor's panel discussion and an attorney's general panel discussion where they get governors or AGs from several states to do a panel discussion. And they got into the topic of debanking. In fact, that year, I remember Governor Greg Gianforte was there. And I think it was that year when Governor Greg Gianforte basically announced a big move that the State Board of Investments, at his direction, was going to basically ban any investments with companies that were pushing this woke ESG, these woke ESG standards, environmental social governance standards, because that's one way in which the far left is trying to debank anybody they disagree with, or it's the way that they target industries that they don't like. So they can target you politically, or they can target your industry because they want to shut down your industry. And really, this started with the gun industry. The radical left realized, hey, we can't just outright take people's guns away because you've got too many judges and too many Republicans in Congress that will stand in the way of our gun control efforts. So instead, they tried to figure out a more subversive way to go after the gun industry or to take away your Second Amendment rights. And that's where this whole debanking concept really got up and rolling. And then the radical left said, oh, well, if we can use the banks or financial regulations or a woke intimidation campaign to put political pressure on these financial institutions to no longer fund the gun industry, well, why don't we, or to defund, say, a small gun manufacturer in a place like Montana, well, why don't we take the same concept and use it to go after oil and gas and coal and Christians and, yes, agriculture? So that's why this story immediately popped out at me when our friend Tim in Billings sent it to me, where Steve Jarvis went on Real America's Voice and says, hey, there is a Montana rancher who... they are trying to bankrupt. They are trying to debank. Well, I reached out to Brian Massard to see if he had any information that he would want to share with our listeners. I also, you know, I was a little late this morning, but I said, hey, Brian, if you want to call into the show, call into the show as well. But this is what Brian Massard told me. And, of course, he's got Reminis Angus Ranch in Dillon. He says, I have a friend that found out my bank has not renewed my operating loan yet. He informed me if they hadn't by now, they were not going to. So he offered to help. He has been reaching about 1 million followers on all platforms. He is grateful for the work I've done and went on 2 national TV shows to share my story. He is hoping to generate some interest. He left me a message tonight to hold tight. Things are moving. So that was Brian Massard in a message to me last night. And, of course, he was talking about his friend Steve Jarvis that we just played that soundbite from. But then, you know, I asked Brian Massard as well. I said, hey, you know, Harmeet Dillon raised a good question. Which bank? We know it's oftentimes the big Wall Street players, the big national banks that are the ones that typically want to debank people. And, you know, our banks here in Montana are smaller, you know, local regional banks, you know, they're a lot more trustworthy. It's these big national banks that oftenly try to turn the screws on, say, the gun industry or oil, gas and coal and you name it. Anyway, Brian Massard tells me the bank is Hillcrest. Hillcrest is his current bank. He says they've been bought out since we started doing business with them. Their national credit officer said that ag loans are what they call low hygiene loans since customers don't make monthly payments. After that statement, the top 5 officers quit the bank. He says, we have really stretched ourselves to help every rancher in America and help our entire country get healthy again. And he's referring to his efforts to speak out in support of the Make America Healthy agenda, the MAHA agenda. That's why he's been working so closely with RFK Jr. He says, we have sent our finances to 4 other banks and have been turned down. They all tell me the same thing. Quote, what you are doing is amazing, but it is also too risky. He now says that Steve Jarvis has had dozens of ranchers contact him from across the country who say they also are being denied loans. Anyway, Brian says this is yet another reason why he believes that fighting to change these dietary guidelines out of the federal government, which, as you guys all know, have not been the healthiest of guidelines. They've been political guidelines for decades now. And by changing these dietary guidelines so that they don't discriminate against cattle ranchers, so that they don't discriminate against beef, that's why that is so important. Anyway, he added this. He says, small banks borrow money from bigger banks who borrow money from J.P. Morgan and Goldman Sachs, which have been moving away from agriculture for decades. This will only get worse. The next wave of vulnerable farmers and ranchers are already in trouble. That's the messages that Brian Massard sent me last night. I've got another soundbite here that I'll play from Steve Jarvis from Real America's Voice. Then we'll get into your phone calls and more. If you got something you want to talk about, 406-294-0970, or you can message us on the Montana Talks app. Lots to talk about here on this Monday. Stand by, back right after this.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, phone lines are open for you, 406-294-0970, or you can message us on the Montana Talks, Talks app. Definitely interested in hearing your take about this topic of debanking, especially I know we've got so many listeners that work in agriculture. That are on the farm or the ranch right now as we speak. In fact, let's take you to one of those callers. We've got Joe Dooling in Helena listening to KCAP. Joe, I know you know our friend Brian Massard as well. What's your thoughts on this whole story?
It's so bizarre what's happening to Brian. You know, Brian's always been on that edge, thinking outside the box. You know, I run his bulls. I couldn't be happier with his genetics. So it's kind of sad. But, you know, what's kind of going on in agriculture, I'm actually running a load of Coors to the Coors plant in Power right now. You know, Brian, Aaron, what's happening right now is really, really scary. It takes 15 loads of my malt barley to equal one load of steers leaving my corral. The disparity between what's going on in agriculture, between the cattle market, which is hotter than can be, and the grain market, which is softer than can ever be, so big right now, and the trouble that's brewing out there. My local fertilizer guy, he tells me he's got $3.5 million in accounts receivable. The guys don't have any money. There's this thing that's brewing in the 46 other counties in Montana. The trouble's starting to come, and things got to turn around quick, or it's going to be bad, really bad.
Well, when it comes to the banks in particular, we know our more Montana-focused banks, our local and regional banks, you know, we can trust those folks by and large. But where the challenge gets here with this debanking push, now, President Trump had an executive order to stop debanking at the federal level. Congress needs to codify that. I believe the Montana legislature needs to codify a debanking provision as well, but that applies to the big major banks, not to our local, you know, regional banks. But the other thing that a lot of people don't realize is the role of these European banks. And we've seen an anti-agriculture push, a climate alarmist push from these European banks affect every sector. So it would be no surprise if this were indeed happening with ranches in particular, right?
Absolutely. And then, you know, you're talking about banking, you're also talking about insurance, right? We're getting down to one or two providers of insurance. I'm sure you can get Tim Brown or Troy Downing on to tell you that same thing happened in insurance. So you're getting where you're getting pinched with all those sectors that you need to have. Are having a problem pointing at agriculture. I've been doing this a long time. I don't think I've ever seen as much volatility as there is right now and how much scariness there is. It's pretty tough, I can be honest with you.
Yeah, and even with the high prices on the cattle side, that affects inventory, and inventory affects the future, right? And it affects the economy right now. Well, Joe Dooling, thanks for the phone call. Great to hear from you, my friend. And drive safe. Drive safe. Keep that barley flowing. I know there's some hardworking folks who greatly appreciate the end product there as well. 406-294-0970 is the number for you as well, if you want to jump in on the conversation. Here's just one more soundbite from the Jack Posobiec interview with Steve Jarvis. This is actually a social media plea that Steve Jarvis put out to support, you know, ranches like Brian Massard's in the midst of what he says is a move to bankrupt RFK's Ranch Advisor.
Hi, my name is Steve Jarvis, and I am a part of the Maha Coalition. My Idlewild 3D is my Instagram, and I wrote a farm plan to create 1 million new 40-acre farms because America is in real trouble. And I want to tell you, I was made aware of this. Brian Massard, he's on Maha Coalition. We met in D.C. We've become friends, and he just told me the other day that his bank is not going to refinance him. So I want you to help me save this ranch. So what we've done is we've set up fromthefarm.org/RemAngusRanch. We have a package here. It's going to have beef sticks, summer sausage, be six packages in there. It's going to be $100. I need 25,000 people to buy this package in order to save this ranch.
All right, there you go. Yeah, that was Steve Jarvis on his social media and as played on Real America's Voice with Jack Posobiec. All right, debanking. Now, the topic of debanking once again came up this weekend on Fox and Friends Weekend Edition as well. Now, you might, again, a lot of people might sit back and say, hey, look, Donald Trump's president. He's fixing all this. Yeah, he's fighting to fix all this. He signed an executive order to stop this debanking from targeting agriculture, from targeting oil, gas, coal, from targeting Christians, from targeting you because of your political beliefs. But that needs to be codified into law. And while he's signing that into law here in America, what's happening in Europe? And back to a very good point that Joe Dooling just made there, what about insurance? And remember, what was it, about a month ago, we did a live show from Big Sky while the National Association of Insurance Commissioners were meeting in Big Sky, and we talked about that very thing. And the leadership with the NAIC was saying how, you know, a lot of these insurance companies are actually owned and run by the banks in Europe. So if the banks in Europe are pushing this woke DEI nonsense, if the banks in Europe are trying to debank oil, gas, coal, guns, agriculture, or Christians, well, if they own some of these companies here in America, or if they have controlling interests, what do you think they're going to try to do in America too? So that's why this is such an important issue, not just in the United States, but worldwide as well. It's yet another way that the globalists are trying to shut us down. Here is Rachel Campos Duffy. She had Shannon Bream from Fox News Sunday on Fox and Friends Weekend Edition.
One of the things that conservatives have been really concerned about, and I think rightfully so, is the idea of debanking. We first of all saw a lot of this in full force with the Canadian truckers, but it is happening here in the United States as well. Here is a quote from the bank executives, because Jim Jordan and those types are trying to hold them accountable for it. This they said, when there's ambiguity in the law, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. And for a long time, the beholder was the Obama and Biden administration. Those pressures were very, very real. When your regulator gives you a suggestion, it's not a suggestion. It's an order. The political stuff is very real. Those pressures are real. That's what the banking executives say. Here is Jim Jordan responding.
This is something we've had for a while. We've been working on for a while. But this is just another form of censorship, but it's financial censorship. They can debank you because they don't like the product you're selling. They don't like the political views you have. This is as wrong as it gets. So God bless President Trump for coming forward with this executive order. We'll continue to look into it because we know it's happened before. What was called Operation Choke Point, where they said if you're in a business, like you're in the firearms business, they were looking to debank you. This is wrong. It's not supposed to happen in America.
All right, there you go. Yeah, that was Congressman Jim Jordan there, of course, the chair of the Judiciary Committee. And we know that this has happened in Montana as well. In fact, when I was at that Attorneys General Forum at the SHOT Show, I think this was last year's SHOT Show at the Attorneys General panel. Actually, it might have been the year before. But there was a Montana gun you know, gun business owner in the House. And during the Q&A portion, he got up and talked about how they tried to do exactly this thing to him and to his gun business. And so it's yet another reason why we need some sort of a debanking a protection law put on the books and codified here in Montana, in the Montana legislature as well. By the way, I shared this information with Brian last night, and I'll share it with you guys as well. Have you been debanked? Have they tried to debank you because of your politics, because of your faith, because of your industry? Maybe the climate alarmists were pressuring them to shut down your oil business, your gas business, or whatever. So you guys have probably heard, my wife works for an incredible organization called the Alliance Defending Freedom. If you go to this website, adflegal.org/campaign/debanking, they actually have a whole website dedicated to discriminatory debanking. And by the way, they are the world's largest religious liberties law firm and religious liberties defense firm. But whether you're in banking or you're a person of faith, or whether you're in the gun industry or oil, gas, coal, or agriculture, yeah, check out their specific page, because they might be able to have some resources that can go to bat for you on the Alliance Defending Freedom website. Caden, go ahead and send us that next caller there, John in Kalispell. Yeah, the phone number for you, 406-294-0970. John, thanks for listening to KJJR. What's your thoughts this morning?
Well, Aaron, here's just a correlation. What is the difference between a private industry doing debanking and government regulations shutting people down for doing what they want to do with their property? Whether it is, oh my gosh, you have all the methane coming out from cows, you have individuals with property but they can't develop it because the state won't give them water rights or allow wells to be done, or you name any number of things. What is the difference? Isn't it all the same?
Well, good question. Obviously, there's an even it should be even more outrageous when the government's doing it, right? And that's where we see where the government leverages regulatory bodies in order to force private sector institutions to do the same. Hold that thought. Tell you what, John, stand by. If I know you got more you want to share, stand by. We'll come back to you right after this. And then I think we've got Representative Carrie Seekins Crow calling in as well, state representative out of Billings. So stand by. Lots to talk about here on Montana Talks. Phone number for you, 406-294-0970. And I'll check the messages on the Montana Talks app as well.
This is where Montana Talks at with Lane Nordlund.
A linchpin of the farm safety net, crop insurance is now getting a makeover thanks to the recently enacted Big Beautiful Bill. Increase premium supports, expanded coverage options, and for beginning farms and ranchers, extra support on top of the current 10% they now get for 5 years. Risk Management Agency Administrator Pat Swanson.
With the new One Big Beautiful Bill that was passed, we are now being able to extend those benefits for 10 years instead of 5. The first 2 years, they're going to get 15% additional support. And the third year, they get 13%. And the fourth year, 11%. And in the fifth through this 10th year, they'll have 10% like they had before.
As for all producers,
we have additional premium support on optional units and basic units, which is when you keep each field separate when it comes time to calculate the claims. And enterprise units as well will also get an additional premium support.
She says the improvements will be retroactive.
We are actually making these changes effective on July 1st of 2025, because in the crop insurance world, that is our fiscal year, that's our reinsurance year, and it was important for us as we were implementing this to make sure that we did not cross over two different crop years.
It is also important for crop insurance agents, so Swanson says they can have accurate quotes to make informed decisions for the fall. I'm Lane Nordlund.
Dustin Brown.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's sneak in a couple more callers here, and then we've got Representative Carrie Seekins Crow on the phone lines with us as well. Back to John Sinrud in Kalispell, talking about this debanking topic. And, great point that you're making here. Look, whether it's these big national Wall Street banks or the big European banks that are forcing this, or whether it's even local governments, you know, with the pileup of regulations. I chatted with you more during the break here, John. When they start piling on all of these local regulations, say in Missoula or Bozeman, well, haven't they essentially debanked your housing project?
They have. They debank. They have the capacity to debank just about anything you want to do, as long as it does not comply with their personal opinions or what authority has been granted to them by the state legislature. And it is a consistent debanking or de-government, whatever. I mean, I prefer de-government, but they want to regulate you to death. And if they say, oh, well, this is for the public good, that's what they use. This is for the public mores or morals within the public. Therefore, you cannot do with your property with what you want, even though there is no actual shown harm to the public for building a pig farm or turning a subdivision in or land into a subdivision. Harm on it.
Yeah, great point. And then we wonder why we don't have more housing, which means more affordable housing, and on down. Or, you know, why, for example, it's so hard to build anything in America these days. Of course, President Trump's working to turn that around as well. By the way, I saw there's a signal that the Fed might finally start to lower the interest rates, and apparently the stock market responded very well to the lower interest rates discussion earlier this morning. All right, John, great to hear from you. Let's sneak in another caller here. I think, can you send me Gary and Terry? I think this is Gary and Terry that we've got coming in right now. Gary, what's on your mind? Thanks for the call.
Yeah, I want to make a solution.
Yeah, turn your radio down in the background. Turn your radio down in the background. Sorry about that. I know our new phone system is a little different. Yeah. So there you go. Go ahead, Gary.
Okay. Well, the problem is that we've moved too far away from the founding. I propose that we reinstall the effort of stocks. That is, we take some of these people that have so much to say, put them in stocks in a public square, and say, shoot your mouth off. We've got politicians that don't know the word politic. They don't know the word that their politician was derived from. We have too many hands doing too little in this country. There's nothing that we cannot do given the so-called brain trust that we have, but we're listening to the wrong people.
And what prompted this? What prompted this thought in particular?
Well, people like Schitz or whatever his name is, he's California.
Or Adam Schiff, careful with the pronunciation there. Hopefully we got that one with the red button, yeah. So basically you just got these mouthy politicians. Like Gavin Newsom is a great example of, look at this guy. The guy is just clowning around on social media, and yet the people of California just continue to suffer. Speaking of words, Gary and Terry was talking about how these people just want to shoot their mouths off. Maybe we just let them go line up in the public square, just let them shoot their mouths off. Did you hear about how the Democrats are now telling their fellow Democrats to stop using their own woke words? We joked about this all the time, all the different new woke terminologies that the Democrats were using. Latinx. One of my favorites was David Noble told us about how instead of nieces and nephews, the LGBTQ left was saying that it needed to be gender neutral. You had to call them nibblings. But apparently they've got a consultant now telling Democrats, stop using these stupid words.
Left think tank, third way.
Hold on one second. Gary, thanks for the phone call. Yeah, I'm got to play this clip for you here, so I got to let you go so I can play this soundbite. All right, there we go. Thanks. Here we go. Here's the soundbite.
Her left think tank Third Way releasing a memo advising the party to ditch 45 words and phrases. Her left think tank Third Way releasing a memo advising the party to ditch 45 words and phrases, stuff like privilege, microaggression, the unhoused, birthing person, and allyship. The list goes on and on. But will the left have anything left to say?
All right, and then we'll hold it right there. Jesse Waters had a hilarious segment on Friday night talking about that very report and how this Democrat consultant is telling the left, stop using these stupid phrases. And it ties in with debanking and ESG and DEI. It's all the same thread. It's all part of the same, nut jobbery, if that's what we want to call it. All right, next up on the phone lines, great to have State Representative Carrie Seekins-Crowe now with us. Carrie, you wrote a great guest opinion column that's featured on the Montana Sentinel website right now, calling out this far-left Supreme Court candidate here in Montana. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much, Aaron. What an honor to be with you. Yeah, that was a fun one to write because we know what the activist judges are doing, and Amy is going to fit right in into that slot, the activist judge, and that's why I branded her activist Amy Eddy.
Yeah, so this is the headline at the Montana Sentinel website, Activist Amy Eddy's War on Montana Energy. So Amy Eddy, you know, I first didn't know much about her background. The first time I started hearing her name, we have a caller, Ron in Big Fork. He's a lawyer. He's got a legal background. But he was just complaining about this Judge Amy Eddy, saying that she just lets the criminals loose all the time with soft sentences. And so he was just, you know, outraged that this judge in Flathead County was constantly giving soft sentences on criminals. Well, then, now we've certainly been hearing her name more often because the far-left activist judge Amy Eddy is now the far-left candidate for the Montana Supreme Court. Talk about her environmental extremist viewpoints in particular.
Well, she fits right into the activist judge that the left wants. They did the same thing with Judge Bittigieri as well. But some of the things that she has done, I mean, well, and Bittigieri fits right in there as well, because Bittigieri and Eddy, they both just cut and paste from the litigants themselves. If it's MEIC or any left-leaning organization that comes to them with a lawsuit. And not only that, but Amy Eddy, she wanted the Supreme Court to seize control over climate. And that's scary. We've already had our justices on our Supreme Court do that with redistricting, with our initiative process, with any legislation that the left doesn't like. They know that they can send it straight up to our Supreme Court. But Amy is scary because she has gone after our Montana way of life with coal and petroleum, natural gas, what we do, our natural resources that make us the treasure state.
Yeah, one case in particular, I spoke with Judge Dan Wilson. Judge Dan Wilson is kind of the common sense, fair judge who wants to bring justice back to the Montana Supreme Court. That's who Amy Eddy is running against. And he actually goes back and looks at the Constitutional Convention here in Montana back in the 1970s and looks at their deliberations. And when it comes to a right to a clean and healthful environment, they knew that the legislature had to draw those lines, had to be the deciding factor on some of these environmental issues. And this far-left judge, Amy Eddy, no, like to your point, she wanted the Montana Supreme Court to basically push the climate alarmist agenda. And even the liberal Montana Supreme Court rejected her arguments and left that in the hands with the legislature back in 2011. So she is even further to the left than a left-wing court.
Well, at that time she was, but I don't know if she, I think she would fit right in now. And that's what's so scary is all of a sudden we would not be permitted in our state anymore to build a natural gas plant or any other dams or any energy that, I mean, we already haven't done that in years, but that would be way out of the question at that point. And it's so interesting, you know, to watch these judges driving back and forth to work, but them going after, you know, not just petroleum, but also electricity, which I'm sure they're not quite sure where they, you know, can get the power for their electric vehicles. But it's very interesting to watch this this war on energy, the war on agriculture as well, because that's where, I mean, agriculture depends on energy as well.
Agriculture is hugely energy intensive. Hold that thought. Quick break. We'll come back to you right after this.
Your News Talk 970 and 103.3 FM KBUL, your home for Fox News, Hannity, and Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we'll get to John and Laurel here in just a minute or so. But first, back to Representative Kerry Seekins-Crow, state legislator out of Billings. Kerry, while I got you and while we're talking about the Montana Supreme Court, another area where we are seeing the far-left judges and the far-left Montana Supreme Court overstep their authority is with this radical transgender agenda, women's rights, women's privacy, and basically giving men more rights than women, even in their own bathrooms, even in their own locker rooms, even on women's sports. And I know you carried that bill. You got that signed into law by Governor Gianforte. That's now before a far-left judge in Missoula. It's interesting on that topic because, much like all of these other issues, this topic, oddly enough, actually came up during the Constitutional Convention back in the 70s here in Montana. Judge Dan Wilson was saying that this topic actually came up. Somebody asked the question. They said, well, with this whole privacy thing, with this whole women's privacy thing, what if a man decides to go into a women's bathroom? And there was a delegate from Anaconda who said, well, obviously common sense would prevail and that would never come up. So it was specifically brought up, this very topic, and yet you have liberal judges trying to overturn centuries of common sense here to push this radical transgender agenda.
Isn't it scary that common sense is no longer prevailing at all and that I have to carry legislation like this? Because the left wants me to say things and they want me to agree with the sentiment that a trans woman is a woman. Well, a trans woman is not a woman. The other thing is they want me to say that it's okay for a man to use the restroom. It's not even a man in a dress. It's according to the feelings at that time. And I'm not going to do that. And the other thing is they don't want accommodations. So there's no such thing as an accommodation. It's basically totally on how they're feeling. And we knew that this lawsuit, I mean, it was sitting on, it went on a slide from Helena to Missoula, slid right onto this judge's desk. I mean, I bet it was already sitting there. And we had been told it was going to be sued ahead of time. And we were depending on it. That's why we worked very closely with organizations that could help us make sure that we had the tightest possible language. And I was thrilled that, you know, my colleagues in both the House and the Senate and then the governor, we acted as a team on this to protect women. Because what this does not is it does not protect women. And it's so important that we realize that accommodations can and should be made, but we still have to be able to protect women. And the way that the far left wants it does not protect women at all. It is so scary. And our judges fall right in line with these activists who make me obsolete as a lawmaker. And they know that.
That's right. Representative Kerry Seekins-Crow, thanks so much for calling in. Great to hear from you.
Aaron.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for all you're doing. And by the way, check out her guest opinion column. Go to MontanaSentinel.press. All right, before we get to our next caller here, we're talking about all this woke stuff, the radical transgender agenda. Well, the Democrats' own consultants now are telling them, stop using all of these woke words. I'm going to spare you the song that Jesse, well, you might get stuck with a little bit of it, but Jesse Waters was talking about how, you know, the They even sang a song about their crazy woke terminology. And then he had this to say about the words they're not supposed to be using anymore. See if it'll play for me here. I know I got a phone call coming in. Hold on. I told you he gets stuck with some of the song. Oh, my goodness.
Asian American Pacific Islander.
But in the New Democrat Testament, there's no room for BIPOCs. This gospel's being ghostwritten by a fancy consultant group called Third Way. All liberal snobby lingo is banned. There's even a list of forbidden fruit. Here's a taste. Privilege, cisgender, microaggressions, all doged. They're even shopping small D democracy, which, let's be honest, sums up the Dems pretty well. Also getting tossed, birthing person, inseminated person, pregnant people, and chest feeding. At this rate, they might finally figure out what a woman is.
Oh, anyway, that's hilarious. Jesse Waters with a rundown of all the words the Democrats are telling their fellow Democrats to stop saying. All right, let's see. Back into the phone lines we go here. John in Laurel. John, what's on your mind this morning? Thanks for calling in.
Well, I just heard another report concerning government trying to eliminate cash in our society. I think that's a big mistake. A lot of people and families, they kind of depend on it. I don't want to use my credit card to get a pack of gum at the store.
Yeah. So this push away from cash, are you concerned about this new framework to support cryptocurrency on the global scale, or just to push away from cash, period?
Well, kind of both, because eventually it's going to end up to cashless society, and then what we're going to end up having is one world currency, which sets everything up for one world government and control of all of our finances and how we can buy and sell and commence commerce. I just don't like the idea. I mean, it's one step closer to total government control.
Certainly could be the way it's implemented, et cetera. Yeah. All right, John, thanks for the call. Sorry, we're out of time for this Monday. We'll take more of your phone calls on Tuesday's Montana Talks as well. Thanks for being with us. Looking